Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everybody, it's us again. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair. Big results in South America last night and England are up tonight. It's Friday 17th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Venetia Hantharaja.
Now the Ramble can begin. It's Friday everybody and there are smiles in the studio. Pete, have you got a new grill?
I have got a new grill. Yeah, I bought it from a shop and I'm cooking all my food on it and I'm having a healthy time.
A multi-purpose grill.
I'm not eating any vegetables. I'm wearing a suit. I'm basically John Pearson of the Ramble. I'm just eating steak. Right, let's get on the show.
Let's get on with the show.
Though I worry about... I've got into Undertaker's friend, haven't I?
I'm Jordan Pearson.
He's not really Undertaker's...
I worry about the boys of the future.
If you don't know who he is, then well done.
You also sound like the gingerbread man as well.
Gentlemen, we have to start by saying the Tbilisi curse has been broken for the Bonnie Scots.
A bit.
What do you mean a bit?
Well, did they?
Well, that's not the curse was that they always lost there, Jim.
Yeah, but
so are
I
you
think,
not counting that as a draw?
I am counting it as a draw, okay. But it's not a win. I don't think the curse is done.
Right.
No.
I think that's
so if Benfica win a
folly.
European trophy on penalties, you're like, nah, not good enough.
Well, they did, if Benfica win, their curse is broken, isn't it? I'm not having this.
Well, okay. Jim.
Did you see the curse of the Colonel was broken quite recently?
What was that?
It's the one in Japan, the baseball one. In Osaka.
I thought you were talking about KFC for a minute there.
So did I. Yeah.
I am talking about KFC.
Oh, okay.
I am talking about the Colonel's Curse.
Please,
I can't remember what, it's like Hanshin Tigers. I can't remember which baseball team were in Osaka, but in the late 80s, I think, they won a big baseball tournament. I don't really know what that is. The World Series of Japan or whatever.
The Japan Series.
And everyone would jump. If you look like one of the players in the team, you would jump in the Dotonbori River. Unfortunately, there was a couple of American guys who were playing on the team in the 80s, might be in the early 90s, and so they threw a statue of the KFC Colonel into the river. They didn't find it for ages.
Yeah.
When they did find it, it lost a hand and it lost glasses, but they've never won a World Series since that happened. But it was the series was broken. That run of bad luck was broken this year. Last month,
that?
In fact.
Wow.
The curse of the Colonel is now done. People died looking for like the glasses in the hand of the KFC Colonel.
Okay.
They dragged out the river and then
stone glasses?
It was real glasses they'd put on a statue. Yeah. But they gave it back to KFC and went, "Do you want this back?" And it was just this filthy statue. And they went, "No, of course not. We're not putting that outside. It's cursed." And it's cursed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll never sell a bit of chicken again.
I think they'll be all right. But I do think with this curse, I'm no expert on curses, but to me, it just seems suspicious. You know, that feels to me like it's not quite gone yet. There's a sequel, potentially.
I'm no expert on curses.
But I'm no expert on curses, but
but if I'm going to have a go, maybe
international week. Vish, I mean, look, it's, you know, the fact is they got a late equaliser, Scotland. Old Shankland scored. So it was a bit of relief there. But as I say, you know, it is a step in the right direction from Scotland. They've done this a lot through this qualifying campaign by qualifying early, of course, and not losing in Georgia, whether it's still cursed or not, is a decent result for them, all things considered, I think.
Yeah, and maybe this is thinking about it a bit too much, but it's a decent result to be annoyed about as well, isn't it? Because everyone came out of that game. Steve Clarke said that they were too impatient in their build-up. McTominay called some of the Georgian players disgraces for rolling around on the floor.
Rolling around like babies.
Rolling around like babies, yeah. Babies do roll, actually, don't they? Because they can't support the neck.
Eventually, yeah.
So there was, they should have picked one up and tried to burp it. Imagine if you picked up a player and tried to burp a
Is that
Georgian
a
player. I suppose it would be, wouldn't it, technically?
It's quite unsporting, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not quite ungentlemanly conduct. If anything, it's gentlemanly conduct.
Depends on the tone.
I think it would be.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it would be frowned upon.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, yeah. Obviously, you know, Kvaratskhelia or Kvaradona scored a couple of goals.
I was thinking about Kvaratskhelia because he's still quite early in his career. Mm-hmm. But he's got a very distinctive silhouette, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Very distinctive style of running and playing. A little bit of Blanco, the Mexican player.
I like that, yeah.
Slightly hunched.
Slightly hunched, always leaning forward.
Yeah, but a bit of Grealish, not with the posture, but with the socks down and that.
It's quite a common trait, isn't it? Of people who play football like he does, quite classy players.
A little bit of Chris Waddle, exciting. I think, with the way sort of maybe sort of shimmies and stuff and whatnot. Yeah. But he's a lovely player, no doubt. The first goal as well, the way he slid in and scored. It was like, that was like a centre half making a last ditch tackle, but yeah, he's managed to score.
Yeah, it's a bit like you think players like that like walking off the field clean.
Mm.
Like, don't get your shorts dirty, mate. Leave that to others.
Yeah, not Kvaradona though. He was excellent. But yes, McTominay scored again. Pete Donaldson.
Yes, he cannot stop it. I cannot stop it, I shout.
It is remarkable how, you know, sometimes international football can elevate certain players. And he's very much been one of them. He'll be crucial when they go to the Euros next summer, of course.
In my mind, he only scores goals in the second half, but I'm sure that's not true. I don't know why. There was a rescue job on.
Yeah, well, he got the equaliser there. But the rescue job really was Shankland, of course, in the dying seconds.
In the piece in The Guardian, it said the late Lawrence Shankland. Lawrence Shankland sounds like a late name, doesn't
that's right,
it?
It's that's
like
right.
The late Lawrence Shankland, who invented the bean.
Yeah, I would have thought with a name like that, it sounds like he owns land in Scotland and they're not happy about it.
Yeah. Local protesters converged on the driveway of Lawrence Shankland.
Yeah, he would buy the country pub. He'd do like what Sting did. Was it Sting who bought the country pub next to him and closed it? Oh, it was too much noise.
That's a big allegation.
I think it is Sting.
Have a little quick look.
Have a little Google.
Yeah.
While we're Googling that, I think it is loath as you are for me to take it back to the football.
Please.
That late winner is massive, isn't it? Because they'd lost a few games now. That sense of momentum had been halted for Scotland.
Mm.
And even though this isn't a win, and as we know, it's inconclusive or not as to whether the curse has been lifted, it does get that momentum back on track a little bit. And they will have been wanting to top the group, and that's bit harder now, but it's still important. Steve Clarke spoke a lot before the game about keeping this going, not being complacent, and essentially having to test themselves against better opposition and prove themselves against better opposition, and you can see that they're looking towards that by essentially trying to get some more players to declare for Scotland. I think they need a bit more of an attacking threat, don't they? Harvey Barnes would be a great addition if they could get him.
Have you heard the latest one?
Yeah, Anthony Gordon.
I can't see Anthony Gordon doing that. I mean, he's surely on the verge. I mean, after his England under 21 heroics last summer and whatnot,
I would say that like Scotland is basically with their, it's basically Newcastle United's assistant manager FC.
Yeah,
right. So you got Carver there, obviously, and the manager
say,
as well.
I thought you were going to say Glasgow's closer to Newcastle than London, so therefore mighty fancy it. For
well, I mean, like it's that nosy character from World War Two, sort of poking over a wall, gun. Come on,
what? No England
get
caps.
Over here. What, no England caps? Come over here. What, no England caps?
Well, that was the caption,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
what, no,
yeah.
Bananas?
What,
or
no bananas? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Or, well, can he, would he be eligible for Saudi Arabia now? Or does it not work like that?
Oh, I don't know. Probably. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure. Are you allowed, as a country, allowed to relax the rules of citizenship?
I don't think you can.
If you live abroad? Presumably you can, can't you?
Maybe.
Whenever
yeah.
you get a flight to sort of Central America, you always get that advert saying, come to St. Lucia and give us 10 grand and you can have a cool passport.
Yeah, and you can jump the queues. Well, yeah, they have been trying to get Harvey Barnes to switch allegiances. Tino Livramento as well, and as you mentioned, Anthony Gordon and Elliot Anderson. So as you said, Peter, it is very much the focus on Newcastle United.
Yeah. I think Anderson got as far as a training session, didn't he? Or he was called up for a group and then decided he needed more time, which fair enough.
I mean, this is just John Carver going through his contact list.
Yeah. He's only got Schaller in.
No, he's the Newcastle United janitor. And he said, right, there's a couple of guys I've been talking to. He said, listen, if he's got some sort of relation who's Scottish, then we'll have a look.
Do you think that's too honest? I thought maybe refreshingly so, but you know, I suppose it's not something that's ever been kept a secret.
No.
It's not like this is a particularly new tactic they're employing.
Ireland in World Cup 94.
Yeah.
But even specific to Scotland as well, I think, like, I suppose the annoying thing would be players jumping on at certain times. So, for example, Che Adams ahead of the Euros, mm-hmm. a lot of people got annoyed by that. And I suppose if you're a fan, you probably have a bit more truck with it if it's an option that's going to either cover up a blind spot, or, you know, improve a blind spot where you don't have that much depth, or is someone who's actually going to come into the first team.
Yeah.
And I suppose if you're a player, you're probably thinking, well, brilliant, mate, I thought this is, you know, my once in a lifetime opportunity to play in a tournament. And I suppose from Scotland's point of view, obviously this is relatively short term, but it's within the span of those players' career. But if you're consistently being a team that's going to major tournaments, it kind of sells itself, doesn't it? You maybe don't need John Carver of all people to, like, come on.
Yeah.
Get in.
Well, I mean, look at the aforementioned Scott McTominay. You know, I mean, I think it was his parents or one of his parents Scottish. There's obviously a proper link there. But, you know, he has been one who has been, you know, that was mentioned, obviously, because he's clearly, you see his accent, you know, where he's from. But it's worked out very, very well. So if you can do this, I mean, you still get, there was one recently. There's still one or two English people that seem to think that Evan Ferguson might, you know, declare.
Yeah.
It was never a thing. Like, it was, like, I find it laughable that it's even mentioned, you know. And Ferguson himself looked particularly awkward in the interview. And well, not awkward, he just looked bemused and was a bit seriously.
But the reaction to it was quite full on, and rightly so. I think we always have to
mind you, though, in the interview's defence, he probably thought, Grealish, Rice, we've done okay with this. Maybe we should. But no, it was.
I like it when it happens like really late in people's career, like Schaller at the World Cup.
Matt Elliott.
Yeah.
Vinnie Jones.
It's always the way, isn't it? Because it makes you think, like, are they waiting for late call ups from their, you know, the country of birth?
Okay.
Right. Just like,
even if it's
really, really unlikely, though. And as Vish says, like, that's when it becomes a bit of a.
Well, look at Mikel Antonio. I mean, you know, he's not that long ago started playing for Jamaica. And look, you know, he's obviously got Jamaican heritage, hence the call up. You know, where he is sort of, if you like, physically from is England. And so, you know, he will be thinking, well, you know, there's a chance or whatever. And there's a few players who play for Nigeria at the moment with Alex Iwobi and
Tarek Lamptey plays for Ghana.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is sort of standard stuff, you know.
Yeah. I mean, but that tends to, like, the Nigerian FA
are pretty hot on this.
Yeah, they kind of went through to do it, but it kind of makes sense if you think about, like, the diaspora in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
Speak. Like, there's you know, and I speak of someone of my generation. So, what, I'm 37. My parents moved over here in 84, I was born in 86.
Yeah.
I don't really have an affiliation to Sri Lanka, but a lot of what I am and a lot of the things I feel and culturally am aware of are very Sri Lankan.
Sure.
And I suppose it kind of, in some ways, and I'm only speaking personally here, but I have noticed it from even someone like Alex Iwobi.
I think Alex Iwobi was born in Nigeria, to be fair.
But even Alex Iwobi has spoken about, actually, it's quite a cool thing to... Yeah. It's not quite giving it back, but it kind of puts you more in touch with perhaps a side of your self that you've... Mm. kind of unwillingly closed in your own way because you've just grown up in a different country.
Well, closed for you, if you like, kind of thing.
Perhaps. Yeah, but a lot of times it is actually a choice. Okay. I more through, like, it's quite hard to cultivate two different personas. Like, some people in my family are good at it. I'm not particularly good at it. But if, for example, I was a footballer and I was not playing for England and Sri Lanka came calling, I think, oh, you know what? That is very cool. And that's a very different way, quite a unique way of getting in touch with that part of yourself.
Yeah, indeed. And I think that's quite profound. I mean, obviously, I do remember, though, when Danny Welbeck played for England against Ghana at Wembley. Mm. He got booed by the Ghana fans when he came on because he could have played for Ghana.
Right.
I thought, come on, that's a bit unfair. But all countries do it, as you say. I mean, England...
I would take Haaland.
Well,
I would take Leeds-born Erling Haaland.
Yeah, we can't do that, unfortunately.
Can't do it now. But.
Yeah. It's just, it's a bit like when Kasper Schmeichel, who was born here, I believe.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I think his father will probably decide. He'll have the casting vote.
Yeah. It's funny, there were a few examples of non-English players that became eligible for England. Manuel Almunia was one.
Yeah.
I remember. And that, I mean,
John
I think
Barnes.
It would have been very strange.
John Barnes is quite a famous example.
Paolo Di Canio as well.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Because
he'd never played for Italy, of course. Yeah, and he could have become naturalised and all that. Interesting. Very interesting. Of course. Well, Scotland do face Norway and Erling Haaland in their final group game. Martin Odegaard has missed Arsenal's last three games after being hit in the face with a ball in training, we've heard, Jim. Mm. So not brilliant stuff for him. That does make it sound like he's a bit soft.
It does.
But then if you do get absolutely cannoned
in the
face...
You can break an orbital bone.
Exactly,
met the criteria to count as concussion, apparently. Yes. So you have to have 6 days. I think 6 days away from being hit in the face with stuff.
Telling everyone, I got my bell rang.
Yeah, you just have 6 days soft play or something.
I believe so. Right. Yes, and then I think you have to pass certain tests as well. So you have to have no symptoms after that.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Like, he's also got a hip injury.
Yeah, right. As I say, when I read it, because he got hit in the face by a ball, you've got to word
bloody
that.
Bloody Arsenal don't like it. Up and
they don't. It's yet further. No, they should word that differently. You have to
sanction Arteta.
He got absolutely cannoned in the face by a ball. Yeah. That is the only way you can do that. But of course, Scotland now must beat Norway and hope Spain lose to Georgia if they want to top the group.
See, this is a shame, isn't it? Because you were hoping that they might top the group, get in a better pot potentially. Well, but we'll see. Who knows?
You would think Spain would top the group. Speaking of Spanish things, everybody, how about this? Spain legend Xabi Alonso joined Andy on the Continent this week.
Whoa,
that is massive,
huge.
Up until now, huge. I thought I was the only rambler that very, 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 very briefly spoke to that man. Alonso, as well as Granit Xhaka, spoke to Andy on the latest edition of At The Match, all about how Bayer Leverkusen have transformed themselves from relegation contenders to Bundesliga leaders in just 18 months. So to hear that episode, just search On The Continent on your podcast app and make sure you subscribe while you're there. That is massive, though. Xabi Alonso, he's a beautiful man. Beautiful player and a beautiful manager, it would seem, Peter.
Certainly. And when I sort of see Andy sharing a dugout or a chair, two chairs.
Sharing a chair with Xabi Alonso in the interview.
Imagine if he was sat on his lap.
Yeah.
Did you not realise Andy's assistant manager at Bayer Leverkusen?
He had a little baby's bottle that he was feeding Alonso. But it gives me...
Exactly the plug Andy would have wanted. <I'm sure. laughs>
They're called dummies. It's called, if you... I'm just getting in a Euro 2024. I'm getting excited about it.
You are?
I get excited about Germany. I'm getting excited
Yes.
about having a kebab in the street. I'm getting excited
is that
about eating sausages and black pudding
summer?
And... Oh, man.
Yeah. You can do kebabs in the street any time.
I can.
But
it's better
not
in Germany, isn't it?
Better over there.
Better over there.
Better over there. How about
that? Can't wait for the queues.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We do love a queue. Gentlemen, tonight, England versus Malta. Big one at Wembley. England have already qualified, thank goodness. Will Gareth Southgate experiment with his team against the minnows of Malta tonight?
I was working in the lab last night with my waistcoat on and my Bunsen burner light.
We've got this player. He's got the legs of Grealish. He's got the...
What have you done? You're going to prison.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. It's like,
I think you should answer that question. Because I think you know the answer. Because we're all going to give the answer we want.
Yeah.
And you, as a Southgate acolyte, for good reason, will correct us and say, yeah, but. So let's start.
No.
You're going to see the Marcus man.
No, you give your answers, and I'm not going to say anything. How about that?
Okay. So do you think he experiment? Yeah, I think he will. Yeah, because he's like that.
With who? With who?
With Rico Lewis, Cole Palmer.
Okay.
Think he's going to go full on? Like
no. I don't. I think he will experiment to a point within the parameters he's already set out. I was going to answer this and get excited about all the talent, and I knew you were going to reel me in.
No, I'm not reeling you in.
You are. You're doing it now with your eyes.
Stop reeling me in.
Licking his lips and blowing kisses your way.
Yeah. Did you see the Rondo clip?
Yes.
That's great.
Makes you feel sick. but this is turbine go around.
So it's basically Piggy in the middle with Kyle Walker, the fastest man in the world.
Yeah.
Sam Johnson.
Can't use his hands, though.
Can't use his hands, but quite a big bloke. Yeah. They were obviously in tight. Cole Palmer running a session, basically.
Cole Palmer was the man of the moment. Now,
Rico Lewis was very impressive.
And then Rico Lewis, for a brief moment, was like, right, okay.
Rico Lewis was probably like, oh, yeah, we do about 80 of these at Man City to get warmed up.
I've been doing these since I was 3.
I mean, look, I understand some people will be very impressed with that because it is impressive, there's no doubt. Yeah. Other people say, well, I'm sure other teams, blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, fine. But we can still enjoy the clip. And you're right, Cole Palmer just seemed to be just popping it through the middle of the play. It was just the confidence that young man has.
Yeah.
Perhaps we will see him tonight.
Kyle Walker was fuming by the end because Jordan Henderson is counting the... Counting either the.
And that's why he's there now. That is one of the reasons.
Or his wages.
all the people in the stand at home games. Oh. 1, 2, 3.
He's not good at counting.
Yeah. I know, an Arabic up to 10.
so it was impressive. The aforementioned Rico Lewis was called up at the start of the week for the first time.
Yeah.
You would think that was just a kind of, here's a little taste of the biscuit.
Yeah, get used to the setup.
Yes, exactly.
I think to slightly double back and answer your question, Marcus. I think we will see Trent Alexander-Arnold start in midfield.
He does like to do that.
Yes. He's called him up as a midfielder. He made quite a sort of point of talking about that. So I think we're going to see that. Because I think he might be in there as a sort of insurance policy in case Calvin Phillips doesn't move in January and gets no football. Just so you've got a player who's a bit fresher in that position.
I think...
I know it's played slightly differently, but...
I think that would be my point. I think you're more likely to have Conor Gallagher as cover for Calvin Phillips, or indeed Jordan Henderson. Whereas I think if he wanted to play a midfield with two advancing rather than two behind Bellingham, you'd have Trent Alexander-Arnold on one side if you wanted to change the shape of that midfield. You know, I don't think he would slot in next to Rice necessarily, but I mean, you know, you're just having little tinkers here and there.
Do you know when Trent Alexander-Arnold was at his best, it was, say, at his best at right back, a lot of it was dependent on Henderson covering for him and basically filling in the right back role, essentially, when Liverpool had the ball and Arnold was going forward, and when they got hit back, Henderson would be in that right back position. Do you think Conor Gallagher could do that role in order to get the most out of midfielder Trent Alexander-Arnold, in that he wouldn't necessarily have to play out of position, in midfield?
So what, you would have what, Rice, Gallagher?
Well, I'm trying
Alexander
to, as I talk through it.
Gallagher would be the other side of Rice, if that was
well,
the
so
case.
That's what I mean, so flipping them, essentially, so that you'd have that. Or even it could just go where Alexander-Arnold goes, if you think of like how...
My answer's no.
Yeah, that's fair enough, because I was also thinking about it. Well, then where does Kyle Walker go?
Well, exactly.
There's a knock-on effect of all that, which I suppose is the reason why Alexander Arnold will play in midfield.
He's not going to start over Trippier or Walker.
No, exactly. Yeah, but my only trepidation about Alexander Arnold in midfield is what he's like without the ball in midfield.
Of course, I mean, but yeah, you would hope that he's had enough drilling at Liverpool and whatnot in similar kind of roles to know what to do with that. But yes, there would be, for some people, there might be a question mark there. Yeah. Whereas Gallagher has the best stats of ball retention, I think, of midfielders in the whole league. You know, he's clearly impressed at Chelsea this season. He's obviously played well in other seasons, for Palace as well, if you want to go all the way back there. So yes, I would have imagined that in a particular type of role, Gallagher's there. However, you know, if England are down and you think, right, do you know what, lads, we need something or whatever, I think Trent is a very handy player off the bench as well, which is something that it sounds a bit odd saying that, because of course he's never off the bench for Liverpool. He's always starting. So
But I think that's a really good point, because one of the main criticisms coming out of Euro 2024 Southgate was his use of substitutes. It felt like it was a bit school, school team in that, like, so Saka came on and did really well, and Saka would always be the first sub.
Yeah.
And I suppose even having an option, even having these closers per se from the bench is going to have multiple options to come on and do multiple different things, whether it's closing out a game or chasing a game.
Yeah.
That is only going to improve England. Yeah.
Yeah. But I would imagine tonight, you could maybe even see Ollie Watkins start. Even though Kane probably wouldn't fancy that. So you might see one or two, but I think you summed it up, Vish, moments ago when you said it will be, there will be experiments, but within the parameters, you know. Could we see Ezra Konsa get some minutes? Surely.
I think that'd be pretty cool. I think he's someone who has been really impressive this season, considering that when Tyrone Mings got injured in the first game of the season, you kind of thought, right, they've lost a bit of a leader there. And he stepped up, and shown that responsibility. And yeah, like, I mean, you might as well. We are kind of lacking for regular faces in defence, so why not?
Some suggested that when Tyrone Mings was playing for England and Konsa hadn't been called up yet to the senior squad, they're actually saying maybe Konsa would be the better option. Right. But Mings, I think, that...
Mings being left-footed, you know, left-footed, that's obviously also quite a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, got some if you like, big minutes under his belt at the Euros, of course. And he's a big personality and a leader, whereas Konsa seems to be kind of coming through with regards to all that kind of stuff. So,
And he's of an age where he's got broader shoulders than most other prospects, you would say, in that squad.
No, you're right. You're seeing this sort of newer generation of defenders coming through now with Colwill, Konsa, Gay. You know, it's quite exciting actually, because England have lacked a little bit in those areas. I mean, Stones is still 29. You know, he's still going to be around for a few years, but you know, it's quite nice.
Also, Konsa just wrote up the fucking Villa on Twitter.
Did he actually
on November the 12th? So, big fan of him.
I thought you said he would release that today, and you're like, no, you're not with. You're playing for a different side. Eric Dier's obviously not in the squad this time. Didn't stop Harry Kane from dropping him in an interview this week. Kane was asked which player he'd least like to sit next to on a long-haul flight, and he replied, Eric Dier. Eric just sleeps everywhere, on the coach, on the plane, so I'll be getting no conversation from him.
Oh, good God. That's perfect, isn't it?
I thought that. Yeah. I thought exactly
Lord
that.
Alive.
Just read a book.
Eric.
I never
Eric,
thought...
wake up. I want to talk about my feelings. Oh, God.
I want to talk about my goals.
Eric, can we play at the same time?
He's not asleep. He's not asleep. He's got those glasses with eyes on. Or the other way around, I don't know.
Eyes closed. He's written three Z's on his head. Yeah. On his forehead.
He's always asleep.
That seems ideal. Like, yeah.
I didn't think. I thought Kane would be a bit more relaxed.
You're quite a chatty plane passenger, aren't you, Marcus? You like a little plane chat.
Sorry about that.
No, I'm not. It's not a criticism.
As soon as you're in there, I'm concentrating on my farts. So just get them all out.
Yeah.
People can't smell them up there. It's perfect.
We don't know.
I do my best work.
Smell them up there.
They just can't. Your nose, the capillaries in your nose close up, I think, and you can't smell anything.
Well,
anything I'm up to. That's why the plane food is so salty.
You can't smell anything I'm up to. Wow. Yeah.
That's not anything I'm up to. I could have doused myself in petrol. No one would know.
If you see Pete on a plane, do get back to us. Yeah. We wouldn't know.
Well, don't get on. Always...
No, we're going to get an absolute deluge of correspondence.
Yeah.
Because everyone looks like Pete.
That's true. We don't know what he smells like on a plane, because he always books a separate flight to us.
Somebody did Snapchat a picture of me to their mate.
That was weird.
They saw me randomly. I was still having fun at 6 o'clock in the morning in I think Sweden or something.
Well done.
Or getting on a flight.
Well done.
And someone took a picture. It's the best picture anyone's ever taken of me. I look amazing.
That's how
and
you
I
get
do
the best.
Never say that.
That is how you get the best out of yourself. I'll keep telling you. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Good morning, Glenn!
Yes. Tell us something your mum doesn't know.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
I'd get a tattoo of him. Yeah, I really
he's
would.
He's great. I hope they've just given him free tickets to every England game.
Yeah. Vish, I'd sorry to take over, Mark. I'm just a bit worried legally that we've not found out whether Sting closed that pub or not.
I stopped
Googling
it.
Oh, never mind. Well, you carry on with that, but just let us know within the next 5 minutes whether that happened or whether it didn't
happen. Yes, we'll do.
Okay.
Armenia versus Wales tomorrow at 2 p.m. Seems pointless talking about this now while we wait about this confirmation.
Who did Summer of 69?
Brian Adams.
Brian Adams. What's the other, the really annoying, but It's My Life?
You're Googling the wrong...
It was Brian Adams. There you go.
It was Brian Adams.
Brian Adams bought a house in Chelsea.
He's a Chelsea fan as well.
The pub next door to him was too noisy for his taste, so he bought the place and shut it down.
Right. Wow. Okay. Aww. That's a bit rich for a man who released an album called Waking Up the Neighbours. Isn't it?
Well, maybe it
well played.
Well, we don't know
well
what
played.
Point of view that was from. Maybe
yeah.
Can I say at the pub? Maybe
I love
the
fact
that you know that's one of his albums.
I just worked for Absolute Radio for 10 years.
That's all you did,
yeah. I did.
Oh, that's Brian Adams is Absolute Radio fodder, isn't it?
Oh, massively.
Do you
yeah.
have another album called Reckless?
Yes. Yeah.
There you are.
So, yeah.
He's man's a
he
fraud.
He talks a good game, doesn't he?
The man is a fraud. By the way, right, he's got a lot of money, so, you know, hence buying a house in Chelsea and all the rest of it. Surely you would see that that pub is there.
Yeah. Or pay to remove your ears. Don't ruin everyone else's
yeah, he's
soundproof one wall.
Is there anything else about Armenia versus Wales that we sort of can avoid?
Well, I think we speak for everyone when we hope that they manage to do it, because
yes.
they've set themselves up for like having to do a few cup finals
that's
in a
right,
row.
That's right.
And they've managed the most difficult one. So I think they've got enough to do the double in the triforce. I just hope they get through this test.
Indeed. They lost this game, didn't they, in Wales? Mm. Which is the well, as I've mentioned a number of times before, a fine collection of goals was scored by Armenia. Mm. So if you're Rob Page, you would say, look, how often does that one go in? How often does that one go in? Mm. You know, unfortunately, it did go in that night. Mm. So by the law of averages, just let them shoot, lads. So of course, Wales have given themselves a fighting chance of qualifying because of that great victory against Croatia. So they need to beat Armenia. Then they host Turkey, who are top of the group and already qualified.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to put this one away
because my goodness, what a chance at home against an already qualified side. A good side. Let's not forget.
A side cursed by Andy Brassel.
Indeed. So it is tantalising, of course, if Wales can beat Armenia. Croatia away to Latvia on Saturday, which you would imagine they would win. And then they host Armenia, which you would imagine they would win as well. So that's why we're thinking Wales need to win both of these games, of course. It's very nicely poised and all eyes on that one because it is such an important game. Rob Page was speaking about VAR this week, and he said that rugby union's television match officials are way ahead of VAR in football. And whenever someone likens football to rugby, I tend to just think, oh, yeah, sod off.
Yeah, they're very, very different. And also...
Very
different traditions, very different rules. And the role of the referee is really, really different as well. It's essentially sort of like keeping everybody safe on the pitch because it's so much more aggressive. But also it's had years more practice. So, I mean,
we can't be bothered doing
that. No, but I think there is potentially an arrogance from within football where they essentially are going to put that view forward, though, that the sports are so different, there's nothing we can really learn from rugby. Let's not listen to that lot. Rugby does it really well, so maybe consult them. And I don't know that they haven't consulted them.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah. But I think Rob Page is bang right.
Oh, okay. Interesting. He's not the only Welshman who's in charge of a national team, of course. Have you heard this? That Rob Sherman, all the Welsh Robs are getting the jobs at the moment. He's been appointed manager of Fiji. And his first game is on Saturday tomorrow against the Northern Marianas Islands. I'll be honest, I've never heard of them. And he's targeting qualification for the big one, the World Cup itself, because Oceania now has one more qualification spot.
1.5, isn't it, officially?
Because it
was a playoff.
It was 0.5 before, which was how New Zealand would need to play a playoff, as you say, and whatnot. I mean, what is there? 211, I think, FIFA nations, like teams that compete.
Yeah.
And we're not far off a quarter of them playing at the World Cup in North America, I think, you know. So if you don't qualify, you've really got to look at yourselves.
Yeah,
haven't you?
Pack it in. pack it in.
So, yeah, look, all the pressure is on Rob Sherman now to get Fiji to the World Cup.
He's a very impressive man, though. There was a sort of article on him, which is how he discovered that he's taken over this job. And he used to, I think he's represented Wales in three different sports.
That is good.
He's been a footballer in his time. He was a lifeguard. And I think he competed in like the 100-metre beach sprint, which is something that a lot of lifeguards do because obviously it's, you know, you might save someone's life if you're slightly faster.
And of course, the guy who's won the most of them is David Hasselhoff.
Of course,
he always went very slowly, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did. But he's building up speed.
Apparently,
he had to run all the way to Berlin and knock that wall down. And the momentum, the sheer momentum.
Yeah,
but you need just across the Atlantic.
Apparently, in real life as well, it was quicker.
Right, okay. Very slow.
Yeah, interesting.
Imagine the opening credits of Baywatch if they just did it in real time.
Yeah,
how
with
crap
the Benny
it
Hill
would have
themes.
Been.
Real time, no music on it.
In the background, someone just shouts, Dev, do you want ice cream?
Oh dear. So yeah, well done, Rob Sherman. We wish you all the best.
Yeah.
We wish you all the best. From one impressive man to another, let's talk about Portugal versus Iceland on Sunday. Portugal have been very impressive in qualification, and Cristiano Ronaldo scored last night against Liechtenstein his 128th international goal. The next player in the men's list down from that is Ali Daei, who, of course, you remember years ago when we were doing profiles and all that, Ali Daei was this mythical figure who had scored 108 international goals.
Played for Bayern Munich for a bit, but barely off the bench.
Right, but international football was clearly where he massively excelled. Mm. Although he had an impressive club career. Ronaldo's got 20 more than him.
Yeah. it is ridiculous at this point.
120, he's 38. He's still going. I reckon if you asked him, can you get to 200? I reckon about 50% of his brain's thinking, yeah, I think I can.
Hmm.
Stunning stuff. I know it's only Liechtenstein's, but the man is scoring goals.
There are a lot of games like that, aren't there? And that's how we rack those up.
Yeah, I mean, well, exactly. You know, why have not more people got 128 international goals, Jim?
But to be fair, maybe not to be fair, but so Ruben Neves played in defence yesterday,
Right.
And then in front of him, Jota, Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva, João Cancelo, João Felix, Gonzalo Ramos and Ronaldo.
That's disrespectful to Liechtenstein, isn't it? We don't need anybody running back.
Yeah.
No defenders.
Yeah. You do what you want over there.
Yeah.
We're not even bothered, mate. Not only are there more types of those games, but provided, you know, if he wants to go beyond the Euros, and there's every chance that he might, we don't know that he will necessarily close it off from there. Mm. I mean, with that supporting cast.
Yeah.
That's like a cross between Ocean's 11 and Weekend at Bernie's.
Like that.
You've just like got all these like heavy hitters and they're like, right, we can prop you up, don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And obviously they're not quite propping him up, but there were a few times yesterday where he's clearly just got one number in his, or one tally in his head that he's constantly thinking about, because he missed quite a good chance from about the penalty spot at the start of the second half and hit the post.
Yeah.
Not so long before his actual goal. And every time he misses, he's fuming, because he's like, that might be the last one.
Another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They only won 2-0.
Yeah.
Slugs. Despite 10 attacking players.
Mm. Well, it goes to show you that every team needs a Claude Backer lately. We promised you South America. Let's go there now. Colombia beat Brazil 2-1. The first time they've ever beaten Brazil in a World Cup match. There's obviously not World Cup finals, but a World Cup qualification match.
Wow.
And so it's a huge result anyway.
Yeah.
Then you throw in Luis Diaz and all that stuff. Vitush and Antaraja. Amazing scenes and an amazing night in Colombia last night.
Yeah, unbelievable. You think of all the things that could have happened with Diaz's father, and the idea that he was there in the crowd watching his son score both of those goals in such a historic win is ridiculous. Yeah.
Is Luis Diaz an underrated headerer of the ball?
I also going to say that,
second one in particular, throwing himself, it's glorious stuff.
Yeah, it was all pretty magic. What a lovely, cute father, by the way.
Oh,
he's
an adorable little thing.
Adorable little dad.
Pleased that he's safe.
Yeah.
Who's got the most adorable dad here?
My dad looked like Martin Yol.
There you go. Winner.
Constantly smiling.
The winner. Right, You've won.
Is that
your dad's pretty great, Pete.
Say again?
Your dad's pretty great.
He's not adorable, though. He's roly-poly.
Yeah.
That's quite sweet in its own way.
I mean, babies are often described as roly-poly.
Is he always rolling on the floor?
Little forward rolls. Yeah. It's got a big lollipop.
I mean, look, obviously everyone is incredibly happy for Diaz to have his father and his mother back as well, because she was obviously released a while ago. Mm. But then to score two goals in a historic victory for Colombia, it's amazing. And he'd missed a couple of efforts earlier than that, and you thought, oh no, please don't lose 1-0 and you've missed a couple of chances that you might otherwise put away.
The first one he missed when it was 1-0, he looked absolutely just bereft.
Yes. But fortunately, just everything conspired so it would be his and Colombia's night. Martinelli got the goal for Brazil, Jim. It was quite nice to see, wasn't it?
It was nice to see Gabriel played as well. So
yeah.
I mean, well done them.
And also, Diaz well done the Gabbies, also scoring against his Liverpool teammate, Alisson, in goal, who embraced him after the final whistle.
So much narrative, more narrative than usual.
Well, there really is. And the fans, there was reports on X, formerly known as Twitter, that 2 hours before the game, the stadium was filling up. There was so much fanfare for this because of Luis Diaz, who is their main man now. You know, the baton has been passed from James Rodriguez, who still plays, of course, but Diaz is there. It's filling up, you know, it's getting a great atmosphere, but also, there was a feeling that this could be Colombia's time to finally beat them in a World Cup qualification match. And they bloody well have done it. They bloody well have done it. And not the only outstanding result from the continent there as well, because Uruguay beat Argentina 2-0 in Buenos Aires last night. And obviously, they are managed by Marcelo Bielsa.
Mm.
Jim Campbell, lovely old job for them.
Lionel Messi said, you can see Bielsa's hand on the way Uruguay is playing, which is very, very enjoyable.
It is. Obviously,
Captain Chaos among the goals as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, Darwin Nunes missed the chance early on, which he should have scored. Yep, and then he scored a goal later on.
It's almost like a herald of a goal in the future, that, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's incredible that he gets the chances.
Yeah.
Because you think to yourself, a chance that presents itself, as the one early in the game did, you think, well, that's your chance gone kind of thing, against an airtight defence.
It sounds almost idiotic, doesn't it? But finding space is a talent.
Yeah.
It's a real, real skill. Erling Haaland's amazing at it. How often do we see him like unmarked at the back post? You think, how have you done that? How has a team allowed that? But it happens all the time.
Well,
it's not the failure of a team. It's the skill of the forward.
Right. And I think that we often call him Captain Cat. Well, everybody does, of course, not just us. But he is obviously an intelligent footballer, because he keeps finding spaces where I don't think many people would necessarily call him that, because it is quite hectic. But he was there, and he was part of ending Argentina's 14-match winning run, which stretched back to the World Cup when Saudi Arabia beat them. And of course, Argentina have been brilliant. Messi has scored in, I think, every Argentinian game since Poland at the World Cup as well. They've been brilliant in qualification. They're still top of the group despite that loss. Mm. And yet Bielsa and the boys turn up and put them to the sword. That's what happens, you see. Right, everybody, it's now time for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. Now, Betfair are all about owning your game. So for Safer Gambling Week 2023, why not try out their handy online toolkit that really puts you in the driving seat and helps you stay on top of how much time and money you spend playing. It's no faff. You can easily add our tools to your account anytime you like, because it's always good to buckle up before you bet. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with a 90-minute payout where all winning selections will be paid out in 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today and every Friday, we're building an acca of four match odds 90 bets. Jim, you're up first.
I've gone for Denmark and Slovenia to draw. They are both at the top of their group by some distance. Denmark are without Rasmus Højlund, who's obviously a big miss. And Slovenia are not without Benjamin Sesko. So I think they might sort of cancel each other out a little bit. Denmark have the home advantage. Mm-hmm. Slovenia are in very, very good form. So I think it's going to be a draw.
Liking that. Jimbo, Peter.
I think that Finland are going to give Northern Ireland a shoeing at home. They qualified for Euro 2016 with a draw in Helsinki, but very different Northern Ireland side. I think George Savile's 50th match in the centre may be an unhappy one, unfortunately, because they got a lot of injuries.
Okay, Finland victory you're going for. Vish, what about you?
I'm going for Scotland to beat Norway. Ooh. Kind of a celebratory, we've qualified, yep. Hampden Park rocking on the weekend. I just think it'll be a lovely old job for the wee Scots.
Okay, I'm going for Wales to beat Armenia. They need to do it. I think they're going to do it. So then, Jim's gone for Denmark and Slovenia to draw. Pete's gone for Finland to beat Northern Ireland. Vish has gone for Scotland to beat Norway. And I've gone for Wales to beat Armenia in Armenia. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £228.56. And if we win all that money, we'll go to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama won't be affected, and that's the same for our Ramble Acca every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook, T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 to get involved. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
He doesn't know what that means. It's Jack's Encyclopedia.
Oh.
Hope you're keeping well, everyone. Simple Game of Categories. Are you ready to play? I'm not even going to explain what it is. Simple Game of Categories. Close your laptops.
No, I'm using mine as a shield.
Yeah, shield.
All right,
shield.
Fine. Use them as a shield. Okay.
In case our friends cheat.
Digital shields. It's like battleships in the studio at the moment. Unbelievable. Right. Vish holds the lineal belt. Jim won last week after an unprecedented three-way tiebreaker. That's one way to describe that absolute monstrosity. We're going to kick things off with you, Jim, once again. Hope you got your Jack's Encyclopedia shoes on. We're going to kick things off with winners of the Men's England Player of the Year Award. Winners of the Men's England Player of the Year Award.
How many are there?
Oh,
like, yeah, like ever.
He's stalling.
It started in 2003.
So I'm going to have Harry Kane.
You're going to have Harry Kane. Just jumping right in there. Lovely. Well done.
Bukayo Saka.
Twice.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Rooney.
One, two, three, four times.
Whoa.
Wow. Raheem Sterling.
Didn't get there.
Wow.
Sad to see.
Frankie Lampard.
He's always performed very well. Frankie Lampard. Correct.
Steven Gerrard.
Of course. 2012.
Days.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's Torres.
I go for a slightly rogue one. Mm-hmm. Scott Parker.
I like it. 2011.
Wow.
That's a lovely bit of work.
That is nice. Yeah. I am gonna go with.
It's Torres.
Formula One.
It was.
Harry Maguire.
Yeah, I was guiding him.
Unfortunately not. Congratulations, Marcus, for bagging that one. You could have had Adam Lallana. You could have had Ashley Cole. You could have had David Beckham.
Beckham.
Hendo, 2019. Calvin Phillips.
I was going to guess Phillips or Rice. I remember one of them got it. Okay. Yeah.
And finally, for now, he's releasing videos of himself on the internet. Owen Hargreaves.
Owen Hargreaves.
2006. Oh. All right, round two. Kick off with Marcus, if that's all right with you. The 20 biggest football stadiums in Europe by capacity. As per Wikipedia. The 20 biggest football stadiums in Europe by capacity. As per Wikipedia. We are classifying Europe by the countries that compete in European competition.
Okay.
Which is pretty flexible, isn't it?
Surely Wembley.
Wembley Stadium, 90,000 people.
Because if it's not, I'm cooking off.
Stade de France.
Stade de France. 81,000.
The new camp.
The new camp. The camp new, 99,000.
The Bernabeu.
Ooh, 81.
81.
The Allianz Arena.
Allianz, 75. Munich.
Can I have Dortmund Stadium? Can I say that?
Dortmund no, you got to name the stadium. Yeah.
Westfalenstadion.
Ooh.
Well played.
No.
If it was right.
It's not in there. Marcus?
Old Trafford.
Yeah, I should have just said that.
Yeah, 75,000. Congratulations, Marcus.
Hampden Park?
Hampden Park.
Surely not.
Is not in there. It's only 45, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it?
Silly, it's only 50.
Why does it look so big on TV?
It doesn't, though. One tier.
Mm. So you've won?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Marcus Speller wins!
Marcus.
Could have had the San Siro, lads.
Oh, yeah.
The San Siro.
Thank you. Never get to hear the end of that. Talking over it.
I mean, what I would say is, Jim, that if you had named the Dortmund Stadium correctly, you would have got there. Yeah.
Signal Iduna Park.
Right.
Westfalenstadion is what it used to be called, though. So it's been renamed.
Yeah.
So yeah. But
baseball ground has come back to haunt me. Maybe I'm cursed.
Well, unlucky. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe Brian Adams is going to buy it and close it down.
Maybe.
Yeah. No one knows.
Maybe.
I think if you have like a stadium that's like the EE Wembley Stadium or something at the moment. I think if you'd got that, you would have been fine. But because it doesn't comprise any of the words in the original name of the stadium, I think you're allowed to.
When the Emirates becomes the Brian Adams Stadium, we won't call it the Emirates anymore.
Well, you could have had the Atatürk Olympic Stadium in Istanbul. You could have had the one in Athens, Baku.
Could you have just said Olympic Stadium?
Stadium.
I think it would have, you would have covered Rome. Yeah. You would have got a few there.
Stadio Metropolitano in Madrid. Krzysztofski Stadium in St. Petersburg, Luzhniki Stadium in Moscow, Millennium Stadium in Cardiff, Olympic Stadium in Berlin and Kiev.
Yeah, there you go.
Puskas Arena in Budapest, San Siro in Milan. We had Stadio Olimpico, another one.
Yep.
We had the Stade Velodrome in Marseille.
If someone
had
just said Olympic Stadium, Stadion Olimpico, it's just been variations.
Hey, you got to draw a line somewhere, line where it was.
There we are. And you have to draw the line on the weekend somewhere, but line now has been disrupted for about 2.5 days. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. The gate to the weekend is open. Get out there, everybody. Have a jolly old time. Thank you very much, Vish.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete.
I want to run to you.
Jim.
Weekend.
Thank you.
Was that Bon Jovi?
No, Brian Adams.
Brian, bloody Adams.
He's rubbish, who
Brian
cares?
Jovi.
Basically one of the same as far as I'm concerned.
And thank you, Brian Adams. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
We
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.